This is Jeffrey Aaron, and welcome to today's Flying Talkers. I'm looking at a picture. It's slightly out of focus. I know because someone told me this is Peter Hansen. I'm thinking, this guy looks vaguely familiar to me. Where do I know him from? And then I start to do some research, and I discover some things I never knew. Some things that are very important to know about the history of air cargo, especially here in America, the biggest market in the world. And I decided, you know what? You should know about Peter Hansen. Because what you know about what happened, of course, always is helpful in getting you forward to where you have to be. History is very important in that manner, for sure. Of course, we hear that all the time. But stay tuned to this, because Peter Hansen's the real deal. You should know him. Before he died September 9th in Cape Town, South Africa, for 35 years from the dawn of modern air cargo, Peter was most important, and amongst his peers, a very respected, down-on-the-ground, innovative air cargo builder of the last century. We'll have that right after this, plus a quick report on last week's WCS, World Cargo Symposium, in Ireland, dear old beautiful Ireland. All of that right after this. This is Jeffrey Aaron. Thanks again for joining us on today's Flying Talkers. We're glad you're here. Flying Talkers 2021, brought to you today by the people of ATC. From Frankfurt, Germany to the world, with offices open everywhere, ATC is the reliable general services and sales agent, GSSA, for top-rated customer satisfaction. If your airline is delivering service excellence, chances are ATC represents them somewhere. There's no secret sauce here. ATC's extraordinary expertise and service ethic harkens back to a time when results-driven cargo executives were the product of a lifetime of best practices and great training. So contact ATC, one world, one great air cargo GSSA. ATC Aviation can be contacted at atc.aviation.com and tell them Flying Talker sent you. That's atc-aviation.com. We're back. Peter Hansen was the whole package. We paint a word picture here because back at the beginnings, when creativity was the order of the day, without precedent to fall back upon, Peter was one with the know-how to be a driving force for remarkable operations that were created between airline, forwarder, and shipper. It was what Henry James described as grasping imagination that created airborne traffic where none had existed before. Peter was born in 1934 in Germany, and he woke up one morning. Please listen to this. At age 10 in Hamburg, and was handed a German anti-tank weapon and told to get out there and help defend the city. Fortunately, he never had to use it. After finishing school, Peter did an apprenticeship with Paul Ahrens, the harbor barge company in Hamburg Harbor. After that, he went on to England to learn English and then moved to New York City in 1961, took some odd jobs in the city before landing a job with Lufthansa Cargo at JFK, which began his air cargo career. I might say that 1961, JFK was called Idlewild International Airport. Peter worked for some years at Lufthansa, but he was based in Los Angeles, and then he moved over to maybe the greatest air cargo training ground of any airline ever in America, Seaboard World Airways. Seaboard was the place where he worked for the great John Mahoney, Bill Bosch, and later, when Flying Tigers took over Seaboard, Peter went to Europe, back to Germany, and was based in Frankfurt. As Flying Tigers went into FedEx, Peter was based in London. Bill Bosch, as president of American Airlines Cargo, when American decided to go into air cargo big time internationally for the first time in its history, brought Peter to DFW, then to Miami, and Peter finally moved to Polar, was based in Hong Kong, before he retired to Cape Town, South Africa. As an early entrepreneurial air cargo man, Peter was a charming, warm, and outgoing individual with a very big heart, known as a good friend to many. A born salesman, Peter was also an excellent manager. Quote, Peter lived his life to the fullest, up to just days before his passing on September 9th in Cape Town. He still went swimming 3 times a week, went sailing on the weekends, loved his wife, went out to lunch daily with Wenka, that's his wife. That was his friend Hardy Zanke, recalling that. Hardy, by the way, it needs to be mentioned, is the son of the very great German air cargo journalist Siegfried Zanke, who was born in Germany 110 years ago. You know, Siegfried and Richard Malkin, hand in hand, I have pictures of them. They stood out there alone from 1940s, from the Berlin airlift forward, as the leading cargo journalists in the world. They invented the form. So nice to talk to Eberhard, we call Hardy Zanke, and learn these things. He said since COVID, he spoke to Peter every day on the telephone for 15 minutes, which was good for both of us, Hardy recalled. In early September, Peter complained of some dizzy spells. After that, Hardy said, things went downhill quickly. I asked his son, Till, who's a doctor in Hawaii, to come to Peter's side on Monday, September 7th. I spoke to him all the time, so got on the phone to Till. Of course, Till got there. I spoke to Peter on September 8th as he hung on, waiting for his son to arrive on Wednesday the 9th, and then he died with his wife and his son by his bedside. So who was Peter Hansen and why does he matter in 2021? Peter, Hardy recalled, was one of the first people out there filling up airplanes with cargo. While at Seaboard, Peter alongside and working for the aforementioned John Mahoney, who I might say to you is generally regarded as a genius and father of modern air cargo thinking, he was always at the core of what was always creative. Mahoney always said that airlines were not training air cargo people as strategic thinkers. So at Seaboard, Peter and others and Mahoney changed all of that. But with Peter, the change went into overdrive. Peter approached clients with factual and detailed information that beat down the popularly held notion by traffic managers especially to automatically decline use of air cargo, mostly because of cost. Peter invited shippers to take a closer look at the popular then total cost concept, TCC, as his sales approach. He said, take a closer look. Pay attention to this. TCC determined that 59 cents out of every production dollar represented distribution costs versus 41 cents cost of manufacture. But I'll give you an example of what he did. Peter, as a forwarder account executive, he works for an airline and he's got forwarders, like a lot of you listening to this podcast today. He personally introduced a California toy manufactured product to a German toy wholesaler. Since transport costs would be borne by the purchaser, Hansen, we're talking about 60 years ago, engaged him in deep-seated comparison cost analysis, whose results not only favored air, but also landed seaboard an initial cargo movement of 10 tons. And to top it all, the air cargo movement for that California toy company was its first entry ever into the overseas market. So not only did they get a big deal on the airline going, they introduced somebody to air, introduced somebody to international business. We'll have more right after this. Flying Talkers Podcast brought to you today by your friends at Pay Cargo, the better way to pay and to save time and money. You see, Pay Cargo has a better idea. By simplifying the payment process to more than 3,000 vendors, cargo moves faster. Pay Cargo saves you time and money by expediting important data and funds to ensure rapid release of your cargo. Maybe best of all, you get the time to build your business assured that the Pay Cargo team is with you, providing trackable, tangible results every step of the way. So why wonder why most shipments in the Pay Cargo system get released in as little as 1 hour? Go to www.paycargo.com and explore a whole new way to pay and get paid. Pay Cargo offers flexible payment options and also available credit lines. And as the number one online platform in the world for cargo payments, www.paycargo.com can offer you a level of service, financial expertise, and connectivity that makes it easy to ship, click, and pay. So go to www.paycargo.com and get the rest of the story. Discover how PayCargo simplifies a better way to pay and get paid. And tell them Flying Talkers sent you. That's www.paycargo.com. Great people to do business with. We're back with Peter Hansen. Another outstanding example of our aforementioned grasping imagination at Seaboard during the Mahoney, Bosch, Hansen era was an idea borrowed from the steamships that saw the all-cargo carrier set up a subsidiary company to buy, transport, and sell to the perishables industry. So here's Peter traveling to Europe, contacting several supermarket chain buyers in the United Kingdom, Germany, Switzerland, and Italy. And what Peter was offering, because he was based in California and he looked out his window, were fresh picked California strawberries, tomatoes, lettuce, and cucumbers for sale. An airline guy is a cuke salesman? Okay, I'll buy that. At prices, by the way, that included transportation and insurance. And it was all payable COD. Then Peter would fly to California with the orders in hand and arrange for purchase from the farmers, from the supermarket chains. In telling that story, Peter said simply, "When I began in air cargo, we were selling on the value of the product per pound. Traffic managers were time conscious." This is Peter Hansen speaking. Most shipments had an element of emergency attached to them. We had to be self-reliant, innovative. Shippers hated change from methods that they were used to, Peter Hansen declared. Our approach was, what are your problems? What can we do for you? At Seaboard, we usually came up with some ideas and occasionally a breakthrough. For example, Seaboard created third world business by working out a more economic routing system. It's a pretty simple thing to do, but how do you serve markets, underserved markets? How do you do that? That was Peter Hansen. Peter and I, Hardy Zanke, recorded, became good friends after I met him in the mid-1970s. He was a cargo sales guy for Seaboard, and I was a forwarder setting up Doigro, air freight forwarding offices in Los Angeles. We bought a sailboat together, which we shared until Flying Tiger's cargo line moved him to Frankfurt in the mid-1980s. Hardy went on to say, after I departed Doigro in 1980, Peter Hansen brought the late Joe Frigger, chairman of Emotrans, and me back together in 1982 when Joe, who had been my first boss at Doigro when we both came from Germany, Joe opened up offices at Los Angeles and San Francisco for Emotrans. I partnered with Joe, an all-time great in air cargo, sadly lost on April 19th of this year, until my early retirement in 1995, Hardy Zanke recalled. Peter, Hardy said, had many good friends, like the late Bill Randazzo, Panel Pina, who started Pac Air in California, and Alfred Kuhlwind, who founded Commodity Forwards, which he sold a few years ago to Kuna Nagel, and many others in the early air cargo scene. At Seaboard, and then throughout his career, Peter Hansen was close to air cargo pioneer and Tiako Hall of Fame recipient and former president of American Airlines, Bill Bosch. Here, I'd like to read you some words of Bill fondly remembering Peter. Bill said, Peter Hansen, I'm proud to say, was a friend and one of the best air cargo marketing people I've ever known. I first met Peter when I was with Seaboard World Airlines. When I joined Seaboard, I worked in customer service, which routed the pallets out of our JFK base. Peter, as usual, produced a great deal of business, and the pallets he sent were labeled X-LAX, capital E-X-L-A-X. Bill said, for a few years, I'm embarrassed to say that I thought the laxative company was one of our biggest customers. When Seaboard landed its domestic authority after airline deregulation with the ending of the CAB, Civil Aeronautics Board, in 1978, John Mahoney, who was head of cargo marketing, sent me to Detroit, Ned Laird to Chicago, Ron Hoppner was in San Francisco, and Peter was already in Los Angeles. When I went to American Airlines, I thought so highly of Peter that I recruited him to run the entire Caribbean cargo marketing for AA Cargo. And again, he did a superb job. But Peter fell in love with South Africa and moved there. One of my fondest memories of Peter was when he and I went to Japan and to visit Yutaka Saito, who ran the Japan market. Peter took his young son with his son's skateboard, which was the first time I saw one. Peter's son became a humanity medical doctor, that's his son Till, and he was always very proud of him. Buzz Whalen, who also was one of the great air cargo pioneers who ran Japan Airlines USA cargo business, who died just last year, gave us the tickets. Another time we were having lunch in Hamburg on the lake, and Peter was telling me his life story, how he met his wife, Wenka, and I can still picture both of these moments touching each other in my memory in October 2021 like it was yesterday. These encounters are among the fondest memories of my life. Over the years, I tried to hire Peter many times to run Europe, but he would never leave South Africa. Peter was a very likable person, and I'm fortunate to have had him in my life. Look, I could go on and on, Bill Bosch said, with stories about this great man, but just let me say that I, for one, mourn him deeply and pray to God that he has been welcomed to everlasting peace. Peter, I miss you, Bill Bosch. Peter, I miss you, Bill Bosch said softly. This is Jeffrey Aaron. Were you in Ireland last week? Did you have an opportunity to go to World Cargo Symposium? Had a couple of hundred people. My guess is you probably weren't. Well, I wonder, who could we find that might be there that might just give us some unvarnished opinion and sort of a blow-by-blow as it occurred to them? And then we wondered, where in the world is Brandon Freed? So here the intrepid president of the U.S.-based Air Forwarders Association.com reports on the International Air Transport Association, IATA's World Cargo Symposium, last week. Brandon said IATA rolled out the red carpet for the air cargo community in this beautiful city with some of the most friendly local people and best-tasting Guinness stout in the world. Well, we can back that up. We think Guinness tastes great wherever you are, but hey, that's just our opinion. Try to find it on tap. We find it all the time in those great Irish bars like P.J. Clark's on 3rd Avenue in Manhattan. But anyway, that's another topic. But don't get me started about beer. Now, there's no doubt that the international border restrictions, Brandon said, adversely impacted the airline industry. Travel's off 78%, and IATA wants countries to reopen immediately for all travelers so that air capacity is restored and we can get back to business as usual. And does Brandon love IATA Chief Willie Walsh? Willie Walsh said the industry is too soft on governments early on, which resulted in harsh travel restrictions, which have to end now. By the way, we can expect favorable change at IATA under Willie Walsh, Brandon said. He's the man for a promising future, and we expect great things from him. Okay, world, let's get that. As the air cargo industry enters the post-pandemic world, Brandon said, IATA is calling for more digitalization. E-airway bill penetration is over 60% with room for improvement. And I, toward environmental sustainability, airlines recently resolved to achieve net zero carbon emissions by 2050 and an increased vigilance on dangerous goods, especially in the transportation of lithium batteries. The goal of increased automation is certainly laudable, Brandon said, and the Air Forwarders Association continues to urge its members that increased investments in technology will yield tremendous returns in efficiency and customer satisfaction. In fact, forwarders are not technological Neanderthals, and most continue to pursue and purchase and use automation daily. Airline bookings and customer transactions. Forwarders, Brandon says, are investing in our future to meet the complex challenges and informational needs ahead. Okay, so what about takeaway? Takeaway from this conference is that the industry has to focus on the lithium battery threat to avoid catastrophe. Or as Jimmy Durante used to say, a catastrophe stroke caused by the thermal runaway fires. IATA just initiated its first lithium battery certification program, which should go a long way in creating awareness, detection, and vigilance throughout the air cargo industry. This isn't some tweaking of numbers from year to year to year, which in truth is what's been going on with IATA. Now, apparently, they're stepping up to the plate. More on that later. Governments, Brandon said, need to increase efforts to enforce stricter manufacturing and packaging standards of these batteries while punishing those who evade the rules. IATA is calling for increased regulations in this important area to protect the airline industry. Well, better late than never, and good for them. Overall, what Brandon said about this particular conference was it was a worthwhile event, and he looks forward to others in the future. Well, he goes to them all as we follow. Where in the world is Brandon Freed? This is Jeffrey Aaron. Thank you. And now, Sullivan's Travels, 1941 and 2022. There's been some speculation about where and when the International Air Transport Association, IATA, will have another one of those yearly mandated meetings of member airline cargo executives, now known as the World Cargo Symposium. Just concluded last week in Dublin, Ireland. So where's it going to be in 2022? People we spoke to say the event could be conducted anytime, but the odds makers bet it's going to be mid-year. But where will the venue be? Will the brass ring go to Seoul or Hong Kong or somewhere in USA or maybe even Doha or Dubai? Dubai's going to have a big aviation deal going on starting November 14th, and they certainly know how to throw a party. Maybe it'll be Dubai. Maybe it'll be Doha, which is now the home of the biggest air cargo operation in the world. Perhaps World Cargo Symposium might finally get back to where it once belonged. This year, next year, or some year, at Istanbul. If you've ever been to Istanbul and visited the Sultanahmet, I promise you, you'll never forget it for the rest of your life. It's one of the most beautiful and historic and important and moving places in the world. Look forward there two or three times to going to Istanbul, and the pandemic certainly squashed that. But so look forward to the next time we can go there. Really a terrific place to be. Never make a mistake about that. The Sultanahmet has got to be on your bucket list somewhere in your life. Istanbul itself isn't exactly chopped liver, as we say in New York, either. It's all great. Well, maybe Europe or Latin America could be an IATA showstopper in 2022. So we're looking at these things at the airport through the bottom of our Jameson shot glass, awaiting departure from Dubai. Somebody tells us Hong Kong, example, post-COVID, is still a terrible mess for travel. But the government desperately wants to open the border in the mainland, which has been closed for so long and which is so critical to Hong Kong's economy that they will jump through some hoops to get a nod from up north and from you as well. There's also a certainty, a great deal of frustration amongst companies about the super strict quarantine rules when you go to Hong Kong, which require anybody coming from anywhere to spend 3 weeks in a hotel quarantine, which is clearly not possible for most kinds of travel. I'm thinking about that. 3 weeks in Hong Kong in a hotel, I don't know. But we also hear that the World Rugby Football Union has recently announced that the 2022 Rugby Sevens tournament, the dates for the Hong Kong appearance for April 1, 2022 have been okayed. So maybe the Ruggers know something we don't. Well, so kudos to the IATA cargo team. You know me, I don't run down the street waving the banner for anybody except you, dear listener. Kudos to that IATA cargo team led by the new global head of cargo, dynamic looking young guy named Brendan Sullivan. They pivoted deftly in an impossibly short window, and they made sure that show went on. You could say, hey, maybe they shouldn't have been there. I couldn't be there because I couldn't do it. Whatever the answer was, they put together what they could in a decent location for people to get to in a hurry, which was Ireland. Very smart move. Whoever came up with that idea came up with a $1 million idea, because the Irish were absolutely perfect. And everybody that was there went away with a great feeling about where they had been. Yeah, they've got Guinness Stout. They all also have a warm, generous personality in Dublin. If you haven't been there, that's another great place to be. But it was Sullivan. We're looking at him on stage in all his sartorial splendor. He's a young guy, dresses like a young guy, as Brendan did his meet and greet and speechifying at Dublin all week long. Undoubtedly, people gathering there, here there were maybe 400 or 350 or who knows. Where will Sullivan's Travels be in 2022? I don't know. I can tell you there's a movie that was made in 1941. It's one of the best movies ever, by Preston Sturges, when he had that run of making six movies in a row, one better than the other, when all about even, so forth. Sullivan's Travels. And it's a very, very funny movie. Stars Joel McRae and Veronda Lake. Check it out. It's on YouTube. Well, check out the trailers on YouTube, and I think it costs a couple of bucks to buy it. So where will they be? I don't know. I wouldn't count out Dubai, and I think Latin America might be something. Latin America is a place that people haven't been for a while. Haven't been to Brazil in the cargo business for a big conference in a while. Yeah, there is that cargo conference that goes on every year in South America, but I haven't seen FIATA, IATA, anybody over there in quite a while. So maybe it'll be Latin America. And maybe, rid of this terrible, terrible COVID affliction to the world, we can all be together again. This is Jeffrey Aaron. Today's Flying Talkers is brought to you by Colli Logistics. When it comes to keeping things moving, it's Colli, by golly. The global air cargo industry is a sunrise sector. You don't believe that? Look out at the ramp. There are thousands of airplanes carrying nothing but air cargo these days, where in past years it was in the belly, or maybe it wasn't there at all. The volume of air cargo being moved is ever increasing, and airports are finding it difficult to keep pace with expansion in terms of infrastructure, workforce, and level of automation. An end-to-end web-based air freight software or an air cargo management system can assist cargo terminal operators to address these issues. At Colli Logistics Solutions, we understand these issues well and constantly strive to provide solutions that can address these problems, promising improvement and efficiency of the operation, as well as increasing bottom-line results. Colli Logistics Solutions' suite of air freight software solutions to address the challenges of air cargo stakeholders have stemmed from working alongside leading airports, including Atlanta, Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, and other locations around the world, gaining in-depth understanding of the challenges and opportunities that define the air cargo domain. Colli's flagship air cargo management system provides state-of-the-art technology for modernization and streamlining of air cargo operations that could assist all stakeholders in overcoming the challenges. Yes, today in 2021, it's Colli, by golly. That's it for our presentation today. And thanks for joining us. Thanks for your time, this time, until next time. This is Jeffrey saying, keep 'em flying, air cargo. And good night, Joe, wherever you are.